In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee, boundless mercy, and for the sake of holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Save me from the lion's mouth, and deliver me from the horns of the unicorn. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Almighty, who for our sakes didst humble thyself and take upon thyself the form of a servant, we beseech thee, govern us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not be offended at thy lowliness, but heartily believe that by thine obedience, even unto the death of the cross, thou hast redeemed us from the wrath of God and from eternal death, and keep us steadfast in such faith and in Christian humility, that we may also finally be exalted with thee and be made partakers of thy glory, thou who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The epistle lesson for this Sunday, Palm Sunday, is found recorded in the epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, and reads as follows. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Let us now sing hymn 161. The gospel lesson for this Sunday is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 9, and reads as follows. And when when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went, and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees, and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Nicene Creed, as this is found on page 22 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten before the Father for all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost, the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy, Christian, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 32, verses 1 through 4, and reads as follows. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of His Word. Our text for today is one of many Old Testament prophecies in which the Messiah is referred to as a king. And there should definitely be no doubt in anyone's mind that Jesus certainly is a king, just not an earthly one. You'll remember how Jesus said to Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence, not from here, not earthly." Christ's kingdom of grace, His church on earth, is not a worldly kingdom, and the king, Christ, is nothing like a worldly king. But as the second person of the Holy Trinity, true God, Jesus certainly is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the almighty King of the whole universe. And yet, for our sakes, He became a man and humbled Himself, keeping from Himself the full use of His divine attributes in order to take our place under the requirements and punishments of God's holy law as our substitute. That self-imposed humility was necessary for Him in order to be our Savior and Redeemer. Jesus demonstrated both His humility and His kingship in the way that He rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, as we heard moments ago in the Gospel lesson for today, and as was prophesied in the Old Testament in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. The Old Testament believers clung in faith to such comforting gospel prophecies, looking forward to the time when God would fulfill those prophecies through the Messiah. We New Testament Christians are likewise comforted by the prophecies, knowing that they have been fulfilled in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and are bestowed upon us today through Him. Let us therefore, on the basis of our text for today, meditate upon the fact that the gracious rule of our Messiah King benefits us greatly. We shall see in the first place that our King brings safety and comfort. And secondly, that He brings spiritual knowledge and understanding. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of His Word in your hearts and in your lives. Our text begins with this declaration of very important and exciting news. It says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." Now, the king mentioned in this first verse is obviously the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. The princes mentioned here could be a reference to all Christians in general, or, as many Bible scholars think, that it refers to rulers within the church. Either way, our text really focuses on the blessings that we receive through the King, Christ. Concerning the rule of this Messiah King, our text tells us, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. Now, every earthly king should strive after righteousness, should strive to be civically righteous, carry out the duties committed to him by God, the punishment of evildoers, the praise of them that do well, in fairness, according to the laws of the land. But no human king is perfectly righteous in all of his doings, because every human being, with the one exception of Christ, is sinful. Going all the way back to Adam and Eve's first sin that we inherited from our parents, original sin, which then shows itself in all forms of actual sins. However, the king described in our text for today by the prophet Isaiah is completely righteous in the fullest sense of the term, righteous in his very essence, and righteous in everything that he ever did, everything that he ever said. Now, Jesus' righteousness is an important part of our salvation. It's part of what we call his active obedience, how he perfectly kept all of God's commandments for us as our substitute. And the fact that the righteous king would bring righteousness for us was something that the prophet Jeremiah foretold when he wrote by inspiration of God, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord, our righteousness." In the next verse of our text, we are told, "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Now, the man mentioned here is not just any individual, but specifically the Son of Man, the Messiah himself, the King referenced in the first verse, emphasizing how this Messiah King would provide deliverance from danger. Our text describes him as being an hiding place from the wind and a covert or a shelter from the tempest. Yes, having the Almighty King of all creation as our constant protector should give us great comfort and calm our troubled hearts, no matter what type of danger might surround us. Indeed, as the psalmist declares, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." By faith in Christ Jesus, we receive the fullness of God's love and protection, benefiting from his never-failing fatherly care. So there is no danger, no enemy that can remove us from his loving hands. Emphasizing how this Messiah King brings relief to all those who are distressed, our text describes him as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock providing shade in a weary land. And far greater than any relief from physical distress or burden is the relief that Christ grants us from the burden of our sins. By his perfect life, by his innocent suffering and death, Jesus satisfied God's justice, reconciled the world unto himself. Consequently, we are assured in the gospel that all of our sins are forgiven, that we have peace with God through the redemption of Christ Jesus. As St. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, "Being justified or forgiven by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." You may remember how Jesus promises relief to all those struggling under the immense weight of their sins when he says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice in that passage from Matthew 11 how the Savior connects spiritual rest given to the contrite sinner with his own lowliness and meekness. And it's especially appropriate today on Palm Sunday to meditate upon the meekness and lowliness of the Savior as he demonstrated when he rode into Jerusalem on the ass's colt. And while such lowliness may not seem appropriate for one whom our text identifies as king, it was completely appropriate for Christ with respect to his work of redemption, in which he saved us by his meekness and lowliness, his humble submission under the requirements and punishment of God's law, which also involved submitting himself in humble meekness to the contempt and hostility of earthly enemies. Though God and Lord of all, Jesus came to serve sinful mankind. According to his human nature, the Son of God withheld from himself the full and constant use of his divine attributes communicated to his human nature in what we call his state of humiliation. And all that in order to save us from our sins. As our text continues, additional spiritual blessings are mentioned in connection with the righteous reign of the Messiah King. We read, "And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken." This verse describes true believers as those who see and hear things clearly, receiving the teachings of the Messiah, the inspired testimony of Holy Scripture with all readiness of mind. Notice how this description is the exact opposite of the way that the Lord Jesus, referring to Isaiah 6, describes unbelievers when he says, "This people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them." Our text tells us that the spiritual eyes of the believers will not be dim. Their spiritual ears will continue to hear, to hearken to the Savior's word. They will be preserved in their saving faith through the power of the gospel. Accordingly, the Messiah declares in the Gospel of John, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." But what about all those unbelievers who are currently opposing the gospel of Christ? Well, through the power of that very gospel, God can change their heart, just as he changed our hearts when he brought us to saving faith. All of us were born into this world as the spiritually blind and dead enemies of God, and we would have continued in that unbelief if God had not most graciously changed our heart, converted us, enlightened us, quickened us, regenerated us. And our text for today describes this work, which is typically ascribed to the Holy Ghost, this conversion, enlightenment, quickening, regeneration, when it says, "The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly." In his natural condition, prior to his conversion, the person, the unbeliever, is described as being rash in his hasty assessment and rejection of God's word because of his spiritual ignorance and opposition to the word of God. And he's described as being a stammerer because of his inability to confess faith in Christ Jesus from his heart. No man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost works saving faith in a person's heart, the formerly rash individual is brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, to an understanding of the gospel. But even after that's happened, after the person has been brought to a saving knowledge of the Word, it is his desire to continue in that, to grow and increase in knowledge and understanding. Thus the apostles Peter and Paul tell us, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, and as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, and grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." That's God's desire for you. And that's certainly also your desire as a Christian, to become stronger in your faith, to be built up and strengthened through the power of His Word. Thus we observe how King David, praying in Psalm 119, asks the Lord over and over again to increase his spiritual knowledge through the Scriptures, saying, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Teach me thy statutes. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. Give me understanding according to thy word." Returning to the description in our text for today, when a person is brought to the saving Christian faith, the former stammerer becomes capable of giving verbal confession of faith. And he is compelled by the love of Christ as a fruit of his faith to do that very thing, to speak to others the word of God, to speak of those things that are now so precious to him. We must not keep the glorious message of the gospel secret to ourselves without telling other people about it. That's something that all mankind need to hear if they're going to be saved. All who die without saving faith in Christ will face an eternity of punishment in hell on account of their sins. So it's both love for Christ and love for our neighbor that will move us to tell our fellow human beings what they need to hear from the Word of God, using both law and gospel rightly divided, so that their souls may be saved from eternal hellfire. But sadly, we must admit to our shame that we have not always been good witnesses of Christ. Even though we are no longer spiritual stammerers, even though God's given us the ability to speak, to confess our faith plainly, we do not always do so. We have often hid the light of our faith and sought to blend in with the unbelieving world around us, either by what we do or say or by just keeping silent. Jesus says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Just on account of that sin, our inconsistency and lack of giving a good Christian confession at all times, we deserve to go to hell. But thankfully, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, including this sin. So we rejoice in the gospel of God's grace in Christ Jesus. And we desire to do better. We want to grow in our ability to do a better job of using our voices to speak of God's word, to give praises to Him. On Palm Sunday, the people gave praises to the Lord, even the little children, And we want to do the same. Saying to Christ, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. With our hearts, with our lips, and with our lives, let us give all glory, laud, and honor to our dear Redeemer King, humbling ourselves before him as he so humbled himself for us and for our salvation. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We give thee but thine own, whate'er the gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O Lord God, Heavenly Father, into thy presence we come with thanksgiving and joy. Thou art a great God. In thy hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is thine also. The sea is thine, and thou didst make it. In thy hands hast formed the dry land. Thou didst speak, and it was done. Thou didst command, and it stood fast. Thou sendest forth thy word, and that purpose whereunto it is sent is accomplished. Save us, O God, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by bestowing upon us abundantly thy grace through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost through Jesus Christ our Savior. Sanctify and redeem us from all our transgressions, and purify us unto thyself a holy people, zealous of good works. Let thy church gather thine elect from far and near into the Zion of thine eternal kingdom. Send forth laborers, therefore, to preach thy word in all its truth and purity, to show forth the name of Christ as the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Prosper their witness to thy truth throughout the world, that all people may know thee from the least even unto the greatest. And to this end, O Lord, help us to find men in the congregations of our conference in whose hearts thou hast placed the desire for the pastoral office which thou hast ordained, that in the years to come, our congregations may flourish by thy grace under their guidance and leadership to the glory of thy holy name. Grant strength and health to Pastor Leitz, so that he may be able to continue serving thee and the members of his congregation for their spiritual and eternal welfare, and to the glory of thy name. We pray for all who are dealing with hardships, difficulties, or distress. And we remember particularly our brethren in Nigeria and Russia. Be with them when they pass through the waters of trouble. Let them always trust in thee, for thou wilt surely show mercy and deliver them. We trust in the merits of thy Son for all thy grace, and in his name we also now pray for our communicants. Dear Lord Jesus, who callest unto thee all that labor and are heavy laden, to refresh them and to give rest unto their souls, we pray thee, let these guests experience thy love at the heavenly feast which thou hast prepared for thy children on earth. Keep them from impenitence and unbelief, that no one may partake of this holy sacrament to his damnation. Take off from them the spotted garment of the flesh and of their own righteousness, and adorn them with the garment of the righteousness purchased with thy blood. Strengthen their faith, increase their love and hope, and after this life, grant them a place at thy heavenly table, where they shall eat of the eternal manna, and drink of the river of thy pleasure forevermore. Hear us for thine own sake. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that the devil, who by a tree once overcame man, might likewise by a tree be overcome through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.